My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
4th and 3 at the 21-yard line of the Rams. Boyle swings it out right side. Cam Akers sheds a tackle. Spin move. Another spin move. 15. Another spin move. And it's a first down at the 14-yard line. Put him in bubble wrap.
Put him in bubble wrap, says Mark Vandermeer. They did not put him in bubble wrap either. He was returning. He was returning kicks, Cam Akers, shortly after that with a couple minutes to go in the game. He was returning the kickoff, or was at least, I don't know if he returned. I can't remember if he actually returned it or not, but he was in there to return kicks after the Rams scored that touchdown to make it 17-15 on
this
Saturday.
I felt like it was a stress test. You know, like when they want to see how, like, okay, we got a new brand of rubber band. Let's see how it does. Or a belt, you know, a belt for your car. Let's see how this radiator belt does. Oh. We're going to run it until it breaks.
You're talking.
We're going to run it for high RPMs and run it until
Cam's
it breaks.
Cam's Achilles are the radiator belts in this analogy.
That was the stress test, and it passed whatever his usage was the other night.
Dude, with flying colors, this whole training camp has been one big passing grade for, not even passing grade, like I would say exceptional grade for Cam Akers, who you just heard right there, who in the game, and we're going to do a little stock up, stock down here. A lot of people texting in saying, want your guys' thoughts on who's making this team. We're going to give them to you here over the next 45 to 60 minutes. But Cam Akers was the big stock up for me, Seth, in that game. And that was the play we heard right there was a catch on 4th and 3 where I don't know that he caught it in position where he would have gotten 3 yards, but it was he shook a tackler, which was really just that was more impressive than the 3 spins. The spins were sizzly, but the making the first guy miss, kind of the angle his body was at when he caught it was really impressive. Vandy's call on that though, when he was going spin move, another spin move. I'm like, is he gonna get the third one? And another spin move. I'm like, yes, Vandy, that's why you're the GOAT. Good job. Here was Cam Akers after the game, talking about what he showed everybody this training camp.
I feel good. You know what I mean? I feel good. I feel like I show people I'm still who I am. I haven't lost a step, and we'll just see how it goes.
Dude, you nailed it earlier. If you just brought somebody to the game and said, watch this game, and then pick out the guy who's had 2 Achilles tears in the last 4 years, or 3 years, actually. I know 4 years. It was training camp. No, 3 years. Training camp 2021. 3 years. 2 Achilles in the last 3 years. He would have been the last guy on the list. He would have picked.
I think so. I tell you what, the guy I probably would have picked if I had somewhere along the way asked, hey, how old is this guy, too, would be Case Keenum. Because Case was a little off.
It was a rough one.
Case was a little bit off. I think that the guy whose stock might have been most up after that game was Davis Mills. Just because I think in that game you could see that, all right, Case knows where to go with the ball. Could have had Mechie on a mega bomb that wasn't. Xavier Hutchinson had a really good game. Partly not just because of his production, but because just about every catch he had to make was a little bit off. And it was, I still do think Case ends up being the third string quarterback.
I do too.
Just because of knowledge and system experience, coaching ability for the other guys. But Cam Akers was everything I think that you would want to see if this guy is actually recovered. And it's impossible, even though this is an unfair comparison, I just always wonder, man, there are exceptions to the rule. And him even coming back from an Achilles tendon tear and making it a couple years in the NFL puts him as an extreme exception with running backs. There's very few running backs that come back and make it at all after Achilles tendon tears. I think of Frank Gore, who early in his career in college, and I think his second ACL, but anyway, he had two ACLs early in his career when he was young, and then went on to be one of the most durable running backs of all time. That maybe Cam Akers is one of these guys that just... He had a couple of, and that was back when Frank Gore tore his Achilles or his ACLs. That was back when it wasn't such a slam dunk easy recovery. So maybe he could be that exception.
Maybe he's built different, man. Maybe he's built different. I boil down the Cam Akers situation because I think, look, we're staring at the possibility that Dameon Pierce makes this team, having not played good football for this team in over a year, and for about a calendar year or so, and Cam Akers not making this team, having had one of the best training camps of any players offensively. If that were to happen, my big question would be, why did you bring Cam Akers in the first place? Unless they trade Cam Akers for a fifth-round pick over the next 24 hours.
I thought would have been a cool plan if you had told me about it in July when they first signed him. And I was saying, hey, everybody, look, I know the name has it's got some flash to it, and you know that you remember his highlights, but he hasn't been the same guy, et cetera, et cetera. I was very cautious about Cam Akers, and I don't regret being cautious about it, but man, everything that gave me reason for skepticism has been disproven. So if they retain Dameon Pierce but trade away Cam Akers, and like they looked at that last preseason game as some kind of showcase for him, I'd be really upset about that. If they keep Dameon Pierce as a thought of, like, okay, look, we're waiting for it to click for him in this offense, I would still be skeptical of that, and maybe they're keeping him as the third running back. But if they did that and also traded away Cam Akers, this would be the biggest issue I've had with this regime of D'Amico and Caserio being paired up.
Yeah, I think so, too. You're right. With these two guys here, I think there were some moves made early on with the team when they were trying to rebuild that you could take or leave, but this would be one of this pairing of Nick and D'Amico that if Pierce is a Texan come Tuesday afternoon and Akers is somewhere else, I think this will be like I think you put it great earlier. Like, this will be our first fight of the D'Amico Ryans era. It's been a year and a half long honeymoon, longer than a lot of honeymoons, but this will be our first fight.
It'd be the first time D'Amico farted in front of us.
Right.
You know? Okay, do I still feel the same way about this person?
But it's like rancid and nasty. You know what I mean? There's nothing lovable about it. Like, it's not
a cute little popcorn.
Yeah, it's not
fart.
Just like one where it's the noise, but there's no smell. Like, oh, okay, you do fart. It's like,
check
oh,
your
God,
underwear.
I got to get out of the room. What's going on? All right, so Stock up. Good job, Seth. Stock up Cam Akers for sure. We'll see what happens. We'll see what I would expect. We'll start seeing moves from the Texans after D'Amico's press conference today. D'Amico's got a press conference at 9 o'clock today, according to the schedule the Texans sent out. I would imagine we'll start seeing moves after that. Maybe before. If we have them before and we have them before 8 o'clock, we'll tell you what they are. Stock up Neville Hewitt.
Here's a handoff to Scott starting right, and he's going to be brought down short of where he needed to go by Neville Hewitt. That's a lock. Bubble wrap him. He's going to make it. Hewitt can play linebacker, a special team superhero.
He had the bubble wrap out in full force on Saturday.
I feel like Neville Hewitt would gnaw through the bubble wrap and go out and find somebody to hit. He's like, Neville Hewitt definitely needs a cone around his neck. He needs one of those dog cones to keep from...
I feel like Neville Hewitt would just flex his trapezius and the thing would just pop off.
Put him in bubble wrap and a neck cone.
Yeah.
I think I really feel like if Neville Hewitt played in 1997, he'd be a Pro Bowl linebacker.
He's
an old school linebacker. He is just hell on wheels against... Well, Dex Thomas was undersized and like kind of speed.
I just mean like a tackle machine kind of thing.
Okay. You know, I think that I think he's on the squad, especially because special teams. The problem is there's a lot of guys now where there's more depth at positions than there's been in the past, and there's more guys like Gumbo Wale and Neville Hewitt where you can't just call all of these guys a lock because of special teams, because they are also competing with other guys who might not be as good at special teams but might be better at their position. So I hesitate to call any of the really good special teams players a lock, but I think that linebacker is thin enough right now that Neville Hewitt's definitely a lock.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if Christian Harris is not playing in week one against Indianapolis, there's a really good chance that Neville Hewitt is out there on first and second down quite a bit, you know, just based on his ability against the run. So I agree with Vandy's sentiment in that highlight. That's my point here, is I think he had a good game. It wasn't just that play. He was all over the place. There's a reason that Andre said, guess who, during that highlight, is that Neville Hewitt had made a bunch of plays up to that point in the game.
Plus, I hadn't watched the TV copy of it. Did he get away with a little bit of a mini horse collar on that one, or was it
on one of the plays he did? I don't know if it was that play in particular, but on one of the plays he did, and I don't know who the running back was. It might have been Zach Evans, because he was getting a lot of the carries for the Rams. Whoever it was literally, as he was falling to the ground, was pointing at his horse collar to the referee. Like, the guy's falling. He's like, he got me.
The horse collar, honestly, the horse collar is a way more nuanced rule than you would ever think it was. So I always hesitate to call something definitely a horse collar or not.
A few people weighing in here. Just going to mix a few of these in before we get to a couple more stock up, stock down. We'll do acknowledge me in about 10 minutes or so. Text message, if they keep DP, it's going to make me angry. I obviously hadn't seen the day-to-day at practice, but it's like they've insisted on giving him chances, which is fine, but it feels like it's taken away opportunity from other guys. That's, boy, one of my biggest things on my podcast right after the game, Seth, where I do four winners, four losers. One of the losers wasn't Damian Pierce himself. It was the entirety of the situation with Damian Pierce, where I find myself now staring straight in the face the possibility that I'm going to get angry at two of the people who are my favorite people in this Texans organization, D'Amico Ryans and Damian Pierce, and probably maybe Nick Caserio too, if Damian's still on this team. There's been no evidence that he's better than the options they have right now.
It feels almost like a Lance McCullers situation, where a lot of people that just are angry at Lance McCullers basically because he's he's a guy that's done great things for the organization, but he can't stay healthy, and people get angry at him over time. And likewise with Damian, it's not injury issues, but it's just his actual production. He goes from one of the guys that you love the most to where all of a sudden he becomes the object of all of your derision. And, yeah, I don't want to feel that way about Damian. So the texter says that, you know, he hasn't seen the practices. You and I have seen almost all of the practices that have been here in Houston. I've missed, like, two or three of them. I've been impressed with him in practice. But that's what makes me nervous, because the running back position, as I say over and over again, practice lies about running backs, because breaking tackles is a very, very big and important part of especially Damian Pierce's game. And he's not tested with that in practice. So he looks great in practice, but Damian's superpower is breaking tackles. So even when the blocking is bad, can he break some tackles? He hasn't really shown any aptitude for that over the last, season plus this training camp. And I don't want them to be deluded by good practice performances by Damian Pierce. It's not as simple as that.
Yep. Last stock up, John Metchie.
Boyle gets the snap. He's got time, fires right side, hits Metchie, winds to the outside, sheds a tackle across the 50. Nice burst of speed, close to a first down.
Well, I think he is rounding into shape and is becoming the player they thought they would have when he was drafted.
Yeah, Metchie weathered the storm, at least the storm that was coming from the media. I don't know if the people in the building ever viewed Metchie as being on the bubble or not. I mean, look, they don't view Damian Pierce, it looks like, as being on any sort of bubble right now. So who knows how they felt about John Metchie, who was just going through a period of a couple of weeks where he was dropping the ball and was having a tough time getting open. He's doing both of those things now. He's getting open. And that play right there, I can see why it got undersold a little bit. Like, when you rewatch that play right there, the spin move that he made to the outside on that play, it is something where you watch a second time, you go, wow, that was really impressive. That didn't pop with me the first time, but that was a really impressive move to get away from the guy.
Honestly, Sean, it felt like he was a guard who was about to kick the ball out to a corner three, and then Euro stepped his way, like spun in Euro step, and then hit it hard towards the hole. Yeah. It was an impressive move. I think with Metchie, this is what I always tried to remember, looking at it from Nick Caserio's perspective. was, in some regards, you almost have to look at him like a rookie, even though this is his third year in the league. The first 2 years, he was battling cancer. And really, even after he cleared recovery, it was still a tax on his body last year. That I think that there's a really good chance that they all along were looking at, okay, but he's making progress. He's just not quite there yet. And that he might have been safe no matter what, even if he had made this turnaround. But I think with this turnaround, and really, just like Damian, okay, the biggest thing is he's not breaking tackles, and I think there's a lot that goes into that. But with Mechie, he wasn't catching the football. You know, he had so many drops. And even with a lot of the positives in practice, he still also had a lot of drops in practice. He's rectified that in the last couple of weeks. I think I'll be really surprised if both Xavier Hutchinson and John Mechie don't make the team.
I'm 100% with you on that. There was another play where Mechie was wide open and might still be running if Case almost threw an interception on the play. Like, Case threw it right at a linebacker. But yeah. Mechie, if you go back and watch that play, Mechie is wide open running down a seam. So Mechie's on this team. I'm with you. Hutchinson and Mechie, I think, are both on this team.
I think the other guys, too, that I would put on there as not on the team, but stock up from that game was Johnny Johnson and Steven Sims. I think like they both did things in that game where you can really appreciate their upside. And at least one of those guys, if they don't make the team or on the practice squad, if they clear waivers, I think. I enjoyed watching that game because the two positions where I think the most battles are at wide receiver and running backs, you really saw those guys step up to
the
plate.
They showed up.
I thought they all
played
their butts off.
Yeah, great point. Yeah, they all showed up. I have Sims making it on mine. In part because of the.
Because of special teams, right? That's another one where you're like, man, we got a lot of guys. It's good for special teams, but I don't know how many guys you can keep just because of special teams.
But he's a guy who can win a game for you on special teams, you know, like if he's able to return.
Well, and I think he's also a guy that adds a speed element when there's injuries, too, in your receiving core, you know. Like, he can open things up just by virtue of just being as fast as he is.
Part of the reason they averaged 6 yards a carry is he had one carry for 38 yards in that game.
Yeah.
You know, you take that one out, it's more like 5.2 yards per carry. All right, let's do a couple stock down. Dez King.
Ethan Evans, the punter, unloads. Dez King back deep for the Houston Texans and drops the ball. It's loose. The Rams fall on it. They've got it inside the 15-yard line. No sunshine to blame that on, and the Rams have the ball in the red zone.
He was just running before he fielded the ball, and it's going to be a big turnover.
That was a guy who is probably feeling the crunch of making a 53-man roster.
Yeah.
Trying to make a play.
I saw some people speculate that maybe the shaft of sunlight and the missing panel somehow did it. I went back and I did the geometry on it, Sean.
No chance.
I got out my protractor and everything. The hypotenuse didn't match up with the apex of the ball. He was looking at nothing but a backdrop of roof when he was watching that ball come down. So that was just a muffed play. That was a muffed punt.
Pythagoras is so proud of you right now, man. You doing that A squared plus B squared.
I'm more of a Euclides guy myself.
Are you? Okay. I'm just telling you. Yeah. I talked to Pythagoras, and he's really proud of you. Here's DeMeco.
He gets all the credit, but it's Euclides that really did that.
Pythagoras is a pub hound. Everybody knows that.
Euclides exists, everybody.
Here's DeMeco Ryans on Desmond King. How does this affect your evaluation of Desmond King?
Nothing is said. Like I said earlier, nothing is said on who punt return or who. Like, we have a lot of decisions to be made. We'll see where we end up.
Okay, well, there you go. So that's D'Amico's got his cards and he's holding them right up against his vest. Another stock down. This was one that had you and I and Clint and everybody else up in the press box looking at each other every time the referee would go holding number 34. We got four of those in the game on Saturday. Troy Hairston, aspiring fullback, and this is the real shame with this, is that the fullback position is kind of there to be grabbed right now by the throat with Andrew Beck out. Like, that's, and I know Hairston got into the end zone. I feel like there's any number of NFL players that could have caught that ball and turned and got into the end zone that wouldn't have held on four other plays in the game. And he missed on a few blocks as well. Like, man, there was an opportunity there. And touchdown or no touchdown, he did not take advantage of that opportunity.
He's had some really glaring misses in the blocking game. The actual, even if he'd had zero holds on that game, I would have looked at his work as a blocker over the last couple of weeks and thought, like, no, you can't go in trusting him to be your fullback.
Right.
He's whiffed a lot. So, it's been he's been a little bit of an experiment because he was a college defensive player, and it's been learning over the last 3 years. He missed all of last season, but it's not working out. Not to the point where you can keep him on as an experiment.
Right.
I think like British Brooks in the limited sample size I've seen, like he hasn't had as many opportunities to miss blocks, but as a combo running back / fullback, I like the idea of British Brooks a lot more than Troy Harris.
No doubt about it. Text messages coming in. If DP makes the squad, do y'all think less of D'Amico and Nick?
I don't think less of them at all. I think that every coach and every GM, they sometimes have blind spots for players. It happens all the time, no matter how great they are. And in my opinion, that's what this would be. Now, we talked about Kyle Tucker earlier. Look, a lot of people were frustrated with the Astros organization when they, deemed Kyle Tucker untouchable because it wasn't looking like Kyle Tucker should be an untouchable guy as a young player. That worked out for the Astros. It's just football's got a different timeline, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
It's got a different timeline and it's got fewer games. You don't have time to let some of these experiments play out.
Nope. Are we going to start hearing about people being cut today? Yes, I would expect so. We've already heard some teams have already started cutting guys yesterday. So we'll start to hear about that. I said 9 o'clock. I said real quick, Seth. I said 9 a.m. D'Amico meets with the media at 11 a.m. today, not 9 a.m. So you'll probably hear that during In the Loop.
Especially because I think, these days it's more and more common that a reporter like Schefter reports that Joe Mixon is going to be cut. And then the Texans end up trading for Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
The Texans did it with TJ Yates back in the day.
Yep.
So you leak it out there that a guy's going to be cut, and it's almost like putting out the bat signal that, like, hey, we're open for business here on this guy.
Yes, absolutely.
So you put it out there today and give you some time to maybe work a sixth or seventh round pick swap.
Yeah, there will be a few of those for sure. But yes, you'll start hearing about people today. D'Amico again meets with the media at 11 a.m., not 9 a.m., like I said before. 11 a.m., and I would imagine you'll hear that press conference today on Sports Radio 610 on In the Loop.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
All right, let's get to some acknowledgement. Acknowledgement from big performances over the weekend, big performances in general, people we admire. I'm going to give Cam Akers
acknowledgement.
One more piece of love. I want to acknowledge Cam Akers in the end of this run right here.
Akers is back in the game, and they toss it to him. Starts up the middle, cuts right, cuts up the middle, 30, 25, right sideline, 20. Knocked out of bounds.
Wow.
Inside the 15-yard line. What a run, Cam Akers.
Nice little kiss at the end of it as he trucks a defender.
The Texans posted a great shot of the Texans side. That happened right on the Texans sideline.
Yeah.
The Texans posted a great video short of the bench's reaction to that.
Yeah.
With Cam Akers off camera, and CJ is running down there, like flexing, like doing the downward flex and then the bicep flex, and it's so good.
Sean, I gotta find you. I'll show you because I use it for a thumbnail for one of my YouTube videos. See, on the right after the initial play on the TV copy, CJ turns around and he's got this smile on his face that looks exactly like the little girl standing in front of the fire meme. The little girl that looks like she's like she knows something about the house fire. That's exactly the smile that CJ had. And it was almost as like, yep, we know something about Cam Akers. Like, we've got a secret.
Yeah,
it was really cool. That was, man, and Cam Akers did it multiple times in that game. He sought out contact.
Yes.
It was really cool. I thought, real quick acknowledgement.
Yeah.
I'll acknowledge the entire Texans backups and guys competing for a spot. Go ahead and hit that.
Acknowledge me!
Those guys understood the assignment. Like, they played their butts off. I saw so many guys. Malik Fisher once, when they were zeroing to him on the sideline after he had made a play, he went to the bench and he just had this look on his face like he was dialed in and I'm going to make this squad. Whereas the Rams, Sean McVay is one of the most conservative coaches in the league when it comes to fourth down decisions. You might think, like, hey, here's this young, youthful-looking, energetic guy. He's probably all into the new stuff, right? No, he is. He's Marty McFly when it comes down to fourth down decisions. And when they chose to go for a field goal in a preseason game, a point-blank field goal on fourth down, down on the goal line, pathetic.
That is bad.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
And then the quarterback there, the Not Spurgeon win. I call him Not Spurgeon win.
Yeah.
He's an Edmonton Elk. Usually in the preseason, if it's a starting quarterback and he tries to go for the first down, I'm like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, don't take a collision. Just slide.
Yeah.
This dude's trying to make the squad. He gets a start in the final preseason game, and he slides like 2 yards shy of the first down marker.
So
what the hell
bad.
Are you thinking?
Yeah.
There was an attitude of timidness by the Rams that the Texans
no swarm.
Have.
We are swarm. You are no swarm. Yes. Jose Altuve.
Acknowledge me.
This is a pretty cool story. This is Altuve on Friday night. Hits a home run, make it 2-0.
Altuve hits it well to right field, sending Santander back all the way at the wall. That ball's gone! Jose Altuve leads all hitters ever in batting average in this stadium, and he hits one out to right. Altuve with number 17 on the year.
Well, that's who Jose was talking about. He wanted to give a bat to a young fan. How about that?
So he hits a two-run home run.
Yeah.
And that's what he's worried about.
And I saw Joe Espada and Omar Lopez look back in the crowd like, who's he referring to?
Look at the smile. Altuve's the best.
He is the best. If you're wondering what that story is, there was a young fan, an Orioles fan, by the way, because the kid, if you watch that video, the home run, kid's wearing Orioles gear. But he, you know, went down to the wall right there, right next to the Astros dugout. And, well, I'll let him tell the story. Here is the fan. His name is Chris. Ecstatic about this new piece of memorabilia that he has.
Okay, Chris, what happened?
I was like yelling from the Astros dugout, and I was yelling to Jose Altuve. He got on deck, and I said, if he hits a home run, can I have your bat? He hit a home run, and the next pitch, he called me over from the dugout, and he gave me the bat. Shout out to him, he's a really nice man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You hear the dad in the background. Thank you so much. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
That was more than enough thanks.
He was great. That kid, I like that kid.
Yeah. I like that kid. I like that he's young enough not to have a social media history that you could go back and find negative things that he's tweeted about.
Oh, he's like eight.
Yeah.
Right.
Nobody went looking for the receipts on this poor kid.
No, the enthusiasm was genuine.
It was an orange bat. That's extra. Yeah. That's even. It's cool to begin with, but the fact that it's an orange bat, it's unique in a lot of regards, but that makes it even cooler. It was a really cool moment.
Really cool. Really cool. Here's Altuve on the moment right here.
Kid was calling for the bat when you were on deck. What just went in your mind just to end up giving him the bat?
Yeah, no, he said I was going to hit a homer, and obviously
last few days was a little tough for me. You know, not feeling great in the home plate. So in order for him to call homer, and actually I hit it, was big for me. So I was happy, probably happier than him. And I just did, the only thing I could do was just give him my bat.
You got to understand, Jose Altuve also is answering this question after a game they lost. Like cataclysmic fashion.
But he hasn't been hitting for power lately,
right,
you know.
Right.
I think he genuinely felt like, man, you know what? It's meant to be, because whatever it took, that little kid saying that maybe is what sparked me and got me some of my power stroke back.
Love
so
it.
So good for him. And the kid, to be fair to the kid, I was just joking about the social media history.
Oh, yeah.
He did go on to say, you know, that they drove from Long Island to go, I think, specifically to watch Altuve because he loves Altuve.
Yeah,
so much.
That's really cool, man. That's a great story. So give him a second acknowledgement, Jose Altuve, Ben.
I didn't
realize he had the highest batting average in the history of Camden Yards. That's impressive, man. Good job, Altuve. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to Jameis Winston.
Acknowledge me.
I know Jameis Winston's pep talks have been a big thing for the Browns throughout the preseason, you know, given the fact that he's not the starting quarterback of the football team, and yet he's the one that the football team and the fan base seem to be reacting to. Where have we seen this before? This is an all-timer from Jameis. Anytime you do a pregame pep talk that includes going to CeCe's Pizza as a kid, you will get acknowledged.
Hey, man, hey, Trey, it ain't just about having fun, man.
Yes, sir.
Remember the time you played your best football game of your life.
Yes, sir.
Remember the time after that victory you went to CC Pizza and celebrated with the boys.
Yes, sir.
Be real. Feel it in your heart, man.
Okay.
It's a long way back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Let's not leave it without a victory.
Yeah,
all right?
Yeah.
So put everything you got on the line today. Let's have a game of memory, man. I remember. Let's go.
Remember.
Family number three. One, two, three.
Jameis is going to mess around and get a CC's endorsement, man.
That's pretty smart. I wonder if he I hope so. I actually would like it in this instance. I wouldn't look at it as like, damn professional athletes. I'd be kind of impressed if he chose CC's Pizza for a reason.
Hell yeah.
That maybe in reality it was Pizza Hut or something. CC's you go because of the buffet, of course.
Absolutely.
You got a group of kids, which is also you got a group of kids mobbing the buffet.
Yeah. Go in with a strong stomach, yes.
Yes, 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 yes. But, I thought this one, too. You know, my one criticism of Jameis Winston's speeches, aside from sometimes where they go a little too far out there, is the length of them.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you're getting ready to play a football game. You got kind of a limited, tight schedule. I don't need a 3-minute speech. That was a pretty short and concise one.
27 seconds. I knew that that's how you felt about these Jameis speeches,
yeah.
So I made sure this one was only 27 seconds. So.
Now, maybe it was just the camera angle. It didn't seem like there were that many players assembled for it.
Well, that's their problem. They're missing the show.
No, it got me wondering, like, okay, was this just one position group? Does he go around to, like, all the different groups and do ones?
Does he
do multiple?
It was the last preseason game, so maybe there were, like, 40 guys in street clothes standing somewhere else at the time.
That's true,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm just giving Jameis the benefit of the doubt because he's an American treasure at this stage of his career. They are none too happy with Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. That's the other part of this story. The Jameis part is the fun thing. The thing that's getting all the attention is that this Deshaun Watson didn't play in this game again. And it was thought early in the week that he was going to, and now he didn't play in this game, and they are angry about this.
And it's been 300-odd days since he's played football, too. 302 days.
It'll be 302 when they play the Cowboys in opening week, yes.
And so it's not your typical situation where you figure, well, we got to keep the quarterback healthy, but he knows what he's doing. He's played a limited number of snaps for the Cleveland Browns since they gave him the largest contract in the history of quarterback contracts.
Yes. 12 games he's played.
He's still the highest paid quarterback in a lot of regards. Like, that's how big that contract was.
He's got the highest cap hit for sure. It's like $64 million.
These other quarterbacks, they try to figure out ways to bring the cap hit down a little bit. The Browns are very much in a position where they've extended and tweaked the contracts of all of the, like, almost all of their veteran players, but they haven't touched Deshaun's because they know that we might need to get out of this as soon as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Because he's a weight on our ankles right this moment.
They're stuck for at least 2 more years. And then even if they bail after 2 years, they got $64 million more still sitting there. It's a mess. All right. See, we got a bunch of them here. I'm going to save Harbaugh. Maybe we'll do that in the last segment. I'm going to acknowledge Aiden Burr.
Acknowledge me!
Aiden Burr is the kicker for the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets football team. He did this against Florida State. Tied at 21. 5 seconds to go in the game on Saturday in Dublin, Ireland. Here you go.
44 yards away.
Joe Tessitore. You can see why Joe Tessitore has a new job as the announcer on Monday Night Raw, starting pretty soon, I think, if he hasn't already. But that was him on the call. Georgia Tech and Florida State opening up the college football season in Dublin. And Georgia Tech gets the upset over a Florida State team that still, in a lot of ways, looks like they're licking their wounds from being left out of the playoffs last year.
Yeah,
and getting
beat
by 60 by Georgia in a bowl game.
There's a guy talking a lot of smack about a boxing rematch or something, then going getting knocked out in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you got screwed by the judges last time, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you just get knocked out. Boom.
Yeah. Danny Cannell, former Florida State quarterback, who I don't know what media outlet he's with these days. He's been with Fox and ESPN at various times. Somewhat outspoken. He
gets into it on social media.
He
quite
does.
He crosses over into politics,
yes,
and whatnot too. So he just, you know, he's out there. He's out there.
Yeah.
So he battles on social media.
He likes the engagement. He tweeted this after the game, 4:01 p.m. on Saturday. Every single person who's harassing me on here will get it in return. I'm keeping tabs. Every single one. # DK receipts. I retweeted this and I said, this sounds exhausting.
Unless he really knows what he's doing there, like he's just because he's trying to get engagement or whatever, I don't think that's the best mental health strategy.
No.
If you decide that one day you're going to beat the internet and beat social, I'm going to beat all the goons on social media, you've lost the war already.
Yes.
So I hope for his own mental health that he doesn't really believe that he's going to take every single one of those receipts and do something about it.
Yep.
There's no way to spend your life, man.
No.
No way to spend your life if that's what you genuinely believe.
Hey, last one here real quick. I believe Hunter Alexander is his name.
Acknowledge me.
He's the kid on the Florida Little League team who laid down the bunt that won the Little League World Series. This was a hell of a highlight. Take a listen to this.
With the runner at second base, Norton. He gets it down. Oh, it's perfect. They throw it away. Right there, he's going to win the Little League World Series championship. Chinese Taipei in shock. It was fielded and thrown to first base. Nobody was there on an incredible bunt by the last hitter in the order, Hunter Alexander. And for the first time, Florida are Little League World Series champions.
All right, so just to describe what went on there real quick. Game's tied at one. It's in extra innings, bottom of the eighth. So that's extra innings in Little League. And, this Hunter Alexander lays down a bunt down the first base line to move the runner from first to second. And the first baseman comes in to field it, turns around, and throws it to first base. And there's nobody there.
Yeah.
Like, you're the one that's supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So the ball rolls down the right field line, and the runner on first comes all the way around to score. And Florida wins the Little League World Series. Dude, they win the Little League World Series. It was heartbreaking watching these kids from China just bawling over this like that.
Yeah,
what a way to lose, to come all the way over from China for weeks and to lose that way.
That guy's getting, that kid's getting murdered on Taipei radio, I bet, this morning.
Oh, Taipei talk radio.
Or yesterday morning, or however the international dateline works.
Yes.
I don't know. It eludes me.
They're crushing
me. So, shout out to Florida. You take it to, Florida sometimes, lots of people like to make fun of the state of Florida.
Right.
And, they do things other than just meth, okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes those kids do something despite growing up with meth dealers as parents.
That's it. They step up. And for the first time, Little League World, that surprised me. First time Florida's ever won the Little League World Series. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Jim Harbaugh's view of what constitutes leadership is interesting. We'll get to that. And who would C.J. Stroud least like to get hit by? I enjoyed this question by Shelby Coppedge, the sideline reporter on Channel 13 on Saturday. We'll get to that. We'll hand the baton over to the folks at Texans Monday. Mark Vandermeer and John Harris will do that. That's coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents
Payne and Pendergast.
A couple people corrected me. That's right. It was the pitcher who fielded that ball in the Little League World Series game. The first baseman was charging the ball and wasn't at first base. My apologies to the Chinese team. My apologies to both teams that I botched the final play like that.
I thought you said that.
No. I said the first baseman fielded it. It was the pitcher who fielded it. It's just the first baseman had charged the ball and wasn't there to catch the ball at first base. Yeah, so my apologies. My apologies for that. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
You're getting roasted in Taipei right now.
Big time, dude, and in Florida, apparently.
Or tomorrow.
They're awake. Yeah.
In the great state of Florida. Yeah. However the international dateline works, you're getting roasted out of tomorrow or yesterday.
This story about the Chargers were in Dallas to play the Cowboys this weekend, and apparently like a dozen of their players and a few other staffers and other people, Dan Fouts' wife, who I guess Dan Fouts is on the Chargers broadcast team, and so they were there for the trip. They got trapped in an elevator for 2 hours at the Westin downtown in Dallas. And so they were in there for 2 hours. Eventually, the fire department got there, and they were able to like pull one of the panels from the ceiling of the elevator and pull everybody up through the ceiling and then drop them into a working elevator.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it was a pretty harrowing experience being stuck in a crowded elevator for 2 hours. Jim Harbaugh was not in that elevator, but Justin Herbert was. And Jim Harbaugh is super excited about the leadership qualities shown by his quarterback in a tense situation.
That's a shared experience. I mean, brought them closer together. I just missed it, you know, being on that elevator. And it's like, I wish I could have been there with those guys, you know. And but Justin Herbert was, and the remarkable things that came out of it was, you know, to a guy, you know, Tarheeb, young rookie player, it's like, wow, Justin Herbert's a leader. I mean, he was a rock. You know, kept everybody calm. And Jerry Fouts told me the same thing. You know, pulled me aside after they got out, and just how great Justin was.
Yeah, there you go. Honestly, look. I don't think this is like proof positive that Justin Herbert is stands head and shoulders above humans in terms of his leadership ability and how cool and calm he is under pressure. I think most good quarterbacks are probably wired that way.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to handle pressure really well or various circumstances. Yeah, I always think of like fighter pilots are kind of wired that way. You think of the movie The Right Stuff, where they're putting them through all these grueling physical tests, and Dennis Quaid is just, you know, chewing gum and popping jokes and everything. Nothing bothers him. But I do think that if your quarterback were the guy that melted down and was like a blubbering mess, that's notable. I think that would be...
That's a cuttable offense.
Yeah, I think it would be hard. If there was some story about Justin Herbert literally peeing down his leg or something, then that's a tough one to come back from. That would be a bigger story, is if somehow he had fallen apart.
I think CJ would be amazing in a broken, crowded elevator. I think he'd be totally calm in that situation. So I think we got the right guy.
Who would be the worst quarterback in that situation? It would just be a frazzled mess.
I think
Osweiler.
Old Baker, maybe not the new version of Baker. But
Old Baker Mayfield, you like trying to fight somebody?
Yeah, Old Baker would definitely have not, he would not have been good in that situation.
I feel like Jim Harbaugh within minutes would have been laying out his plan for how they had to procreate, because they might be the last people on earth.
You know who might not have been good?
Like, listen, we're going to have to.
You know who might not have been good? Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. The quarterback. Yeah. Remember, he used to get into shouting matches with Ditka on the sidelines back in the day.
Do you think Jim Harbaugh would insist on being the first guy pulled out of the elevator because of the importance of his leadership?
No, not if there were women in there. I think he is a gentleman. I think he would.
That's true.
I think he would let the women, but he would be the first player out, I think. Speaking of CJ Stroud, this was a good sideline interview that Shelby Coppedge did with him. She did her research, man. We don't have time to play the whole thing. I love this answer, because when you ask players to give props to other players, there's always a hesitancy. This was CJ Stroud being asked, who would you not want to get hit by?
I would say like pass, like Ed Reed, or like Ray Lewis, or Troy Polamalu, like one of the old players. I really don't like be fair to nobody. They only fair God, so you know, but I don't know. Getting hit kind of helps you, like, play harder. I don't know. I kind of like it.
He kind of likes getting hit. If you couldn't hear it there, the crowd noise was a little loud in the background. He said, I don't fear anybody except for I fear God. No current players on his list. That is to be expected. That guy's
yeah,
don't
yeah.
Like
I don't fear anybody.
Prop up current guys like that.
I fear God.
Yeah.
I like you always go back to DeAndre Hopkins and the Hard Knocks when he was telling who was the Redskins player that he was telling the
probably D'Angelo
God,
Hall
God.
Was the one whose ankles
D'Angelo
he broke.
That's
yeah,
right.
yeah, yeah.
If CJ's anything like me and he thought of a joke that he then had to throttle back, which I'd spend about. I do 4 minutes out of every hour doing. I think the obvious answer is Quinnen Williams. I think he would have said, like, I'd prefer not to get hit by Quinnen Williams again. You hear me, Juice? So, like,
Quinnen Williams
kind of sucked.
We didn't play any of the audio from this, but Quinnen Williams is too busy getting his interviews cut off by Jim Rome on Friday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, maybe we'll get to that later this week.
Yeah, yeah. It was a funny moment. So we should start. I would imagine, Seth, start getting some cuts here a little later on today. D'Amico meets with the media at 11,
yeah.
And I don't know if we'll hear any before that or if that's when they start to flood out. They've got a lot of work to do over the next day or so. I don't know. What do you think happens with this whole running back situation? That's what has everybody talking here.
All right. I think that it's impossible to judge D'Amico's body language or his tone of voice when asked about Damian Pierce after the press conference because, he could have just been saying the bare minimum about a player that they plan on trading, or he could have just been, like, he knows that it's an issue, that it's a talking point, and that it's going to be criticized if they keep him. So I have no idea which way they're going to go with Damian Pierce. I do think that him being traded might be the best thing for Damian Pierce himself. And also the best thing for the Texans right now. So I'm hoping, I'm not saying this with any kind of false nobility or anything. I really think the best thing for Damian Pierce might be to be in a different situation on a different offense. And it would be the best thing for the Texans. So I hope that's what happens.
A lot of people are framing it as a Pierce versus Akers thing because Pierce didn't play and Akers played a ton in that game.
Yeah.
I have them both making it right. And if Damian's not traded, my 53 here, I have them both making it. Like Akers, they're not an either or necessarily. Damian making it does, I would say, reduce the chances of Akers making it just based on how many running backs you're going to bring into the season. But I think Akers is going to make this team.
If Akers isn't on the roster, I'm going to be genuinely angry about that.
Yeah.
That'll be, even if they trade him, I will be upset about that.
Yeah. All right. So that'll be, we'll know a lot more answers tomorrow. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock is the deadline. Seth? Antibodies to you, Mike.
Antibodies and all of that to you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Good luck in Taipei.
Thank you very much. All right, we're done. We're out of time. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, Texans Monday. They are up next. We will see you guys tomorrow at 6 a.m.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.